Chapter 4. We arrived at the morgue, a place as small and unassuming as a police station. It had one worker, the local medical examiner. It was dimly lit, with the stark white light casting long shadows. The air was heavy with the metallic tang of blood, and the sharp sting of formaldehyde. The cold stainless steel tables gleamed under the fluorescent lights, giving off a sterile clinical vibe. The outline of a body lay on the hard metal table, hidden beneath the sheet. We walked toward the body. As each step grew closer, my heart dropped further in my chest. The man in the lab coat slowly lifted the sheet. A few strands of blonde hair slipped into view. My stomach twisted. "It can't be her," I thought. My heartbeat pounded in my ears. I saw the victim's face and her lifeless eyes. Susan had green eyes. The shriveled body that laid on the table had brown. It wasn't Susan. My heart regained its position in my chest, yet a sense of guilt grew from within. Guilt for the relief I felt. Golding took a deep breath and lit a cigarette.
"You can't smoke in here. It's not the 1920s. You can't just come in here with a fedora and calling some woman toots,"
the doctor said, a look of frustration on his face. I couldn't help but laugh, a much-needed release. "First of all, I ain't wearing a fedora. And second, you're the only worker here, and I sure in hell ain't calling your ugly mug toots." The two stared at each other, which was more awkward than looking at the dead body resting on the table.
"We get it. You're both well endowed. Now if you were done measuring, can we, you know, move on to the important shit?"
I said. The doctor and Golding looked at me and simultaneously rolled their eyes. A minute of silence later, with gloved hands, the doctor turned the victim's face, revealing purple and red flesh around two bite marks on the victim's neck. Ignoring Golding, the doctor looked at me and stated,
"I thought it was some kind of IV pick, but it's not consistent with any needles I've seen. It's more like bite marks."
"What's the cause of death, then?" I asked.
"Massive blood loss. It's as if she was..."
The doctor hesitated, then continued,
"completely drained of her blood. If I didn't know any better, I'd say Dracula killed her."
The doctor chuckled. The detective and I glanced at each other.
"You would think that's the most interesting thing I found, but during my initial examination, I found something else."
The doctor walked over to the counter and picked something up.
"This was in her pocket."
He had a piece of wax paper.
"A sacrifice for our eternal life. We thank you."
The doctor read this out loud.
"Do we have an ID on the victim yet?"
asked the detective.
"Yes, I ran her dental records, and her name is Sandra Clowder. She's from New York and was only 43.
"Why would someone from New York visit Ivy Hollow? I sure in hell wouldn't."
"Don't ask me,"
the doctor replied.
"I'm only here because I couldn't get a job anywhere else."
I looked at Golding. He rolled his eyes. As we left the morgue, Golding turned around and said,
"See you later, toots,"
and gestured like he was grabbing a invisible fedora. A gloved middle finger rose from the doctor as we left. We didn't have much to go on. Other than the dead cattle just outside town, we took the detective's Ford out to the ranch. As we drove through town, snow rested on the soil. It was still bitter cold. I asked Golding about the note.
"A vamp's way of making themselves feel better, maybe. For killing, but I am sure vampires are involved in something."
We arrived at the ranch. It had one of those big arched signs connecting to a gate below. It read Hollow Ridge Ranch. The snowy woods in the background acted as a picturesque view of a Midwestern life. We went past the ranch's gate. In the near distance, a heavy-set man with stubble and blonde thinning hair greeted us. I got out of the car, the cold providing a not-so-warm welcome. The smile of the rancher was warm, as he said,
"Well, if it isn't Mr. Gunning Golding."
It was obvious the pair was
longtime friends.
This is Jack. He's consulting on the recent killings.
I can't believe that's happening. These poor people. I've known most of them as long as I've known Mr. Gunning Golding here.
Gunning Golding? I asked.
Yeah, we used to call Matt that in high school. He was always gunning for something. Women, winning the game, or just giving me a hard time.
Why did I ask, I thought.
I ain't sure why you're here, though. Your guys already came by after I called about the cattle missing.
Yeah, well, I thought I would swing by and see if I could spot anything my guys missed. I can't leave my old buddy hanging, said Golding as he attempted a smile.
All right, well, take your time. I'll be inside. It's colder than a cow's tits out here.
The old rancher limped back inside. The old storm door creaked as it shut behind him.
All right, Gunning Golding, what are we looking for?
Old Gunner gave me a dagger-eyed look. It was clear I should steer clear of that nickname if I didn't want to get a sword stabbed through my back.
Some cattle went missing again last night. Look around while I go and see if Pat saw anything else.
Golding went inside, and I stayed to face the cold. I walked around to find the cattle. They looked scared as I approached. I looked around to see if I could see anything else. I found some blood that stained the snow. I couldn't tell where it came from. The cold dug deep into my lungs. It held its grip as I trudged through the snow. It was a big ranch, one that at that moment seemed to never end. In the far distance from the blood, an old leaning shed stood, not so tall. Its paint a faded red. It had better days, as had I. My forehead pain increased as I walked closer to the shed. Each step was as if snow was turning into quicksand. The only brain cells I had left telling me to go the other way. As I walked closer, I thought I could hear movement and slurping from within. I approached the shed. I didn't know what was more dangerous, the thought of what was in the shed or the structural stability of the shed itself. I slowly opened the door. The rusty hinges creaked. In the shed, it was dark. Other than the slight light that creeped in through the cracks of the old wood, as I entered further, the aroma of flesh punched me in the face. A mix of blood and snow beneath my boots. It was then I saw it. A cow lay on its side, its ribs visible. It spilled entrails steaming in the cold air. Hunched over the carcass, a figure with blood dripping from its mouth grinned. Red eyes burned through the darkness, its teeth jagged, sharp, and stained, glistened as it lifted its head. I stumbled back, instantly reaching for my gun. The problem was I didn't have it. I hadn't taken it out of my glove compartment in years. Then, a strange heat flared in my hands, like I had pressed them too close to an open flame. My fingers tingled, burning with an intensity that made me clench my fist. A cold sweat broke out along my back. The creature rose from its feast, its grotesque form unfolding in the shadows. My body refused to move. My mind screamed to run, but something rooted me in place. It lunged. Time slowed, my pupils dilated, and for a fleeting moment, I saw it. Not just the creature, but something deeper, its soul. It hesitated, its movements faltered, red eyes widening, the hunger twisting, its features melted into something else. Uncertainty? No. Fear. It was more afraid of me than I was of it. A sharp, electric pain shot through my forehead. Unlike the dull ache I had come to live with, this was different, stronger, as if something inside me strained against invisible chains. The dim light sweeping through the cracks in the shed, darkness swallowed me whole.
Hey you, yeah you, thanks for listening to this episode of Jack's Chronicles. If you enjoy this episode and are curious how the story unfolds, make sure you follow for more and leave us a review. Jack's Chronicles is brought to you by Wolf Shield Media. Interested in more fiction podcast? Check out this sneak preview of Trapped Within, a gripping new thriller audio drama, narrated and written by me, Dwight Randolph. The body thumped as it hit the hard floor. This was a surprise for the other guy. He had a baseball cap and an N95 mask on. I could still see the shock in his eyes, followed by fear before the bullet struck his skull. The blood splattered against the so-called stainless steel. What remained of the second guy lay on the floor. Blood seeped into the cracks of the wood floor. Listen on our website, wolfshield.media, or your favorite podcast app.